Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Party Foul.
Menoth Foul.
Menoth Day.
Yay.
Last time it was Kador Day. Now it's Menoth Day.
That's right. Yeah. We did have a Kador Day. It was super exciting.
It was actually, I thought it went pretty good. Anyways, yep. I'm Scott, and on my painting table, I have 1, 2, 3, 4 factions, 4 warbands of Shadespear.
Shadespear or Shadespire?
Shadespire. Whatever. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to make it fully painted, and I've got one more to buy, and I'll have all 8.
You're insane.
It's good. It's fun. It's fast.
How fast is it?
You can play 3 games in an hour easily.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe 4 if you know what you're doing.
And is it like it's best out of 3 sort
you
of
You do best out of 3, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have a chance to learn your opponent's stuff.
And then try to come back and stuff. Right. Yeah, yeah. But there's like a little bit of deck building involved and stuff. So you have to like, you know what you're doing, which right. I don't. So
deck building yeah. on top of moving little models around and rolling dice.
You got it. You got it.
Interesting mix.
Still got some trolls on your painting table, I'm assuming?
Oh, I got everything that I had last time. I'm just a slack and idle bag of shit.
Son of a bitch.
And I got work to do. It's delivery week. I should be working now, but I'm just, man. I'm that kind of slack and idle.
Let's do it. You are working. You're working for Party Foul.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
the,
good.
The pay makes it worth it.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
All right. Let's.
All right, so we're going to jump into the, so CID just went live on Menoth.
Woohoo!
Super excited.
Like literally like
not probably really, like add 3 hours to that. So yeah, like 12:30. So that doesn't make any sense. Add 3 hours to that. What? So it's 6:30 in the AM their time, I guess. That's crazy.
Well, they are West Coast.
Whatever. So about 2 hours ago, this went live. Hour and a half. And we're just going to go over and glance at it, and we'll, you know, talk about it a little bit. We'll see what we can find out.
Can we look at the new shit first?
Sure. Go ahead. You want to talk about High Exemplar Sirianna?
I can, but I can't see any of her stats or anything.
They don't have her stats.
Oh, they don't have her stats yet? No. Oh, they're just saying that this is
what you're using, and maybe there's like, maybe we'll find it later at the bottom.
Right. Well, apparently she's of Idrian descent, so she's like a minority in the exemplars or something. Is that what it is? She should be focused on defensive tactical gameplay. Her feat, Vigilance of the Faithful, should allow the army to react to oncoming attacks and is themed around both tactical acumen and divine intervention. Her battle plans should further reinforce these ideas. She is not frontline fighter herself, but certainly should not be a weak combatant. Things to test. Sirenia brings a variety of defensive options. When combined, are these options too much for opposing players to overcome? Is her utility overwhelming for the player? Does she support exemplar models well? Interesting. Well, she has battle plans, and her feat is, I have no idea.
Okay.
Because it sounds...
So here she is here. She's speed 5, strength 6, mat 8, rat 4, def 15, armor 16, command 10, focus 6. It's interesting that she's not a frontline, but she's a mat 8, which makes you think she wants
to... Well, exemplars are base mat 7,
yeah, so... just make them slightly better. She's got 28 warjack points, small base, 16 damage boxes. Feat, Vigilance of the Faithful. Faithful.
Yeah.
While in her control range, friendly faction models gain +2 def. When one or more friendly faction models are destroyed or removed from play by an enemy attack while in her control range at any time, except while advancing immediately after the attack is resolved, one friendly exemplar model in her control range can advance up to 3 inches. A model can only move once per turn as a result of Vigilance of the Faithful, and it lasts for 1 round.
Sounds weird. It sounds like that +2 def virus's feat in a way. I mean, the +2 def is not virus's feat, but the whole, like, you kill a model and a model gets to advance sort of thing
yeah.
is kind of
it's
interesting.
Yeah, I guess it just gets your stuff up a little further. You jam with some crappy stuff, feat,
yeah.
and then you get to move your weapon master.
I guess it can get her out of danger, too, potentially. But
potentially.
Is there any limit on the number of moves for
one.
Vision?
There's a model one. Can okay, move yeah, yeah. once.
That's what I thought, but I wanted to confirm that.
Her battle plans, Desperate Mission, range 5, target-friendly living exemplar model. If this model is in range, it gains Last Word. Desperate Mission lasts for 1 round. When a model with Last Word is disabled by an enemy attack at any time except while it's advancing, it can immediately advance up to 3 inches and make 1 basic melee attack.
Hmm.
The affected model cannot be targeted by free strikes during this movement. She's got Heroic Call, range 5. Target-friendly living exemplar model unit. If the model is in range, it gains tough. Not affected while out of formation. Heroic Call lasts for 1 round. Special Orders, range 5. Target-friendly living exemplar model unit. If they are in range, it gains reposition 3 for 1 turn, and at the end of the activation, which it doesn't, blah, blah, blah.
Those are good battle plans.
She's got Righteous Vengeance, which is if one or more friendly faction warrior models were destroyed or removed from play by enemy attacks while within 5 inches of her during her maintenance phase, she can move 3 inches and make 1 basic melee attack.
What's the power of her weapon or weapons?
11.
What, 11 Weapon Master?
Yep.
Yeah.
So she's got a magical sword. It's range 1.
Yep.
Pal 5, power strength 11. She's got spells. Oh boy, here we go.
That's kind of interesting because you can kind of stack her feet and that battle plan because they're two different abilities. So you could potentially advance 3 inches out of her feet and then advance 3 inches off the whatever the fuck it's called, the last word ability as well and make a melee attack.
So she's got dash, which we don't have to go over. We know that is everything gets plus 1
good
speed.
For exemplars and immune to free strikes.
So. Hex blast, which is range 10, AoE 3, PAL 13, nuke for removing upkeeps. Invirable Resolve, target-friendly faction model unit gains plus 2 armor and cannot be moved by a push or a slam.
Mm-hmm.
Not effective while out of formation. Positive Charge,
which is
pretty big. Target-friendly faction Warjack gains plus 2 to melee attack and damage rolls, and while within 3 inches of the effective Warjack, friendly faction models gain plus 2 to melee attack and damage rolls.
That's pretty good when you're spamming Weapon Masters.
And she's got Rock Wall.
Hey, what do you mean, and she's got Rock Wall? Rock Wall's and she's got Rock pretty Wall. Fucking big, yeah. So there is some exciting things on there. Nothing that I was like thinking, oh my God, she's crazy, but interesting stuff. You know, the out of activation movement stuff is kind of cool. Positive Charge is last turn or round?
Positive charge lasts for 1 turn.
1 turn, okay. Positive Charge is great in Menoth. And, you know, you're like thinking, I guess that the one that they usually spam the Jacks in is the Exemplar theme to get the blast, or is there another one? Like, there's another theme that does Jacks. Maybe see her in the Jack theme. Positive Charge is pretty good, but Ammon probably does it better. Anyways, what did you think?
I really can't offer too much. We should have Frank here who plays Menoth. I don't see Menoth. Like, I'm hoping this brings them back. You know what I mean? Because don't see
Josh
them at all.
Josh is kind of excited for it.
Yeah, but, you know.
But what?
He plays a lot of Menoth, so he's going to be excited. For me, I'm just, like I said, I don't see them out there, right? So.
Yes. No, you don't. She's got some interesting things there, but. Yeah, I guess, does she answer anything in particular or ask any particular hard questions?
Until we see some lists, we won't know. I mean, she's probably going to spam some troops, which
I don't know. I guess last word is only warrior models, but her feet can affect warjacks, right?
I didn't see where it said just that. Yeah, friendly faction models gain plus 2 def.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Like, I mean, you can, like some of the jacks have Ashen Veil and stuff like that, so into hordes type stuff or even into gun lines, if they pop them up to defense 14 with the feet, and if a warrior model gets killed or something, then or is an exemplar model that needs to advance 3 inches with their feet. Is that what it says?
No, you asked me all these tough questions.
Well, I'm trying to figure out interactions, right?
It just says friendly faction models.
Okay, so you can do it on the jacks, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right. I think it sounds like she kind of wants like a nice balanced force. So you have some infantry to die into last word so that she can get feet moves on her, like her warjacks or important models. And the plus 2 arm sounds like, you know, like a lot of people are like, oh, you should put that on a infantry unit. Maybe it is good on, like, I don't know, bastions, depending on what they do with bastions or incinerators or something like that. But, you know, it is a target model, so you could put it on like a jack as well. I guess it depends on what they do with the medium based dudes. Let's find out.
All right, so where are we going to go now? I have all the... It's on a separate page, so I've got all the rules and stuff. Okay, so.
Well, what's in the next new thing?
Well, go what's on yours that we're going down the list, and then I'll find it on here.
Okay, the next one on here is the Exemplar Warder. An Exemplar Bodyguard, the Warder is a solid defensive unit that is not afraid to step in front of oncoming fire or stand in front of his superiors and sacrifice himself for the cause. The Warder is a combatant and should not be passive on the battlefield. Does the Warder provide too much defensive bonus? Especially with casters like Resnik 1 or 2, Krios 2 or 3, does the Warder contribute to the fight in the late game in a meaningful way? Do you find the Warder a valuable addition to your army? So, what is this guy?
Okay, so he's Speed 5, Strength 8, Mad 8, Rat 4, Def 12, Armor 16, Command 10. He's FA 1.
Ooh.
Point cost 5. Small base. He's got 5 damage boxes. Attached before the start of the game, attached model, so you have to attach him to your caster.
Mm-hmm.
He's got guard dog, so without within 3 inches of this war caster, he cannot be knocked down or stationary. Its war caster gains parry, plus 2 def against melee attack rolls, and models attacking the war caster do not gain backstrike bonuses. Inhuman Resolve, when a friendly living faction model in this model's command range is destroyed by an enemy attack after the attack is resolved, this model can remove 1 damage point.
You're familiar with this.
Yep, it's kind of broken. When this model is disabled, it becomes knocked down instead of becoming boxed, and its activation ends immediately. And when this model is disabled, it cannot activate. If this model is disabled at the beginning of your maintenance phase, it is destroyed. There's so many weird interactions with this thing that inhuman resolve to me needs to be fixed.
I don't know. It's because it's removing damage, right? So anything that prevents removing damage.
But you say that, but a lot of things don't.
No. So I know.
A lot of factions have a hard time doing it. But I just mean, so you send this, you could just run this guy up to an objective, and then the other person, if they don't have a way of stopping the healing, they can't kill him.
Well,
even if they kill him, he's still there.
Yeah. He's still there. He's still
counts, and he's contesting.
Yes.
Okay. Then what happens if you kill him and you have something near him that says no knockdown? So is he not knocked down?
No, he shouldn't be.
So then what happens? Do you take a free strike from him?
I don't know. That's a good question.
What I mean? Like, there's some weird interactions
I'd have to read the rule again for inhuman resolve again to figure that out. What does it say again?
Okay, so when a living friendly faction model in this model's command range is destroyed by an enemy attack, after the attack is resolved, this model can remove one damage point. When this model is disabled, it becomes knocked down instead of becoming boxed, and its activation immediately ends. While this model is disabled, it cannot activate. If this model is disabled at the beginning of your maintenance phase, it is destroyed. So is making a free strike activating?
No, I don't believe so. Then but
that's what I mean. Like, there are ways that you could just
You could just put the book in the room or something.
While you're looking up that, I'll keep going. The model also has set defense.
Yeah.
We already know what all that stuff does. It's minus two to charge, slam power attacks, and impact attack rolls against this model. And he has shield guard.
That sounds pretty good. And he's free, probably.
Probably free in Dames, right.
Well, it depends on the caster, I suppose, and whether or not you require another attachment for him or whatnot.
Only attachment, you can only have one.
Well, that's what I meant. Yeah. You know, is this guy worth it over a Hierophant or Madeline Corbeau or something like that?
He's got a Consecrated Halberd, which is a range 2, power 11, blessed, a magical weapon master. He also has a shield, which is a range half inch, which is pow 8.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could definitely see guard dog and shield guard and all that stuff being very useful for certain casters. Model makes one normal melee attack with any melee weapon that has sufficient melee range to reach.
It's what I mean.
I would think, he could make free strike.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's a really weird situation that
I find. It makes an annoying model to remove if you don't have Grievous Wounds or Trobacore or something like that. So he sounds pretty good. Like I said, is he too good to like cancel out some of the other options? No, it depends on kind of what you want.
Yeah, but you know what though? You're also not getting stationary, you know.
Yeah, it depends on the caster.
There's a lot of stuff there that's really good. I actually think you probably would want to take him. Yeah. All right, next, what's up there?
More Menoth stuff. Hand of Silence is a reclaimer on a horse. Cute, done. No, guiding spirits to Menoth is the primary function of the Hand of Silence. He should be a reasonable combat model while also fulfilling a powerful but niche support role. This is shown through direct spirits, grave resonance, soul powered, and strength of death. So go ahead.
You would say that, but I have to find it first.
Is his melee damage too high? Too low? Do you find he is removed from the table too easily? So, and also look at the interactions and stuff like that. Direct spirits is cool. I imagine that's in his command range, which is probably 10 because fucking exemplars. I don't know what gray resonance is. Soul powered is, I guess he can collect soul tokens and use them to buy and boost attacks and stuff like that. Strength of death. I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's, gives him armor or whatever. Is he like way down? We can move on to something else that you have like available.
I'm going to be changing the way we do this and I'm going to start at the top and we can go down.
Oh, okay. Do it. Cause you can't find him.
I'm just like,
nice. Well then just do your next one, man.
What was he called though? Then Hand of Silence.
Okay, Silence.
I found him. We'll do this one and then we'll go back to the top.
Talk to the Hand of Silence.
Speed 8, Strength 7, Mat 6, Rat 5, Def 13, Armor 16, Command 10. FAC, 7 point costs, probably free.
No. It's large base, so it's questionable.
Damage 10, Hand of Silence 1. He's got Assault, he's Cavalry, Ashen Veil. So he has concealment and living enemy models without immunity fire suffer minus 2 to attack rolls while within 2 inches of him.
Yep.
Direct spirits. When a friendly living faction warrior model is destroyed in this model's command range and generates a soul token, you choose which model the soul taker ability gains the destroyed model's soul, regardless of proximity to other models. Enemy models are not eligible to gain soul tokens from models destroyed in this model's command range. So he's got some deniability there.
Yeah, for sure.
Reposition 3, he's got Soul Taker Gatekeeper. This model can gain soul tokens, and when a living model is destroyed, living faction model is destroyed while in this model's command range, this model gains a destroyed soul token. This model can have up to 3 soul tokens at any time. This model can spend soul tokens for the following. Grave Residence. This model can spend soul tokens at any time during its activation to give friendly faction warjacks within 5 inches of it 1 focus point.
Yep.
Soul Powered. During its combat action, this model can spend soul tokens to make additional melee attacks. It can make 1 additional attack for each token spent. Strength of Death. During its combat action, this model can spend soul tokens to boost 1 attack or damage roll for each token spent.
So he's kind of like a mini Gravis with Reclaimer abilities and stuff like that.
He's got a Flamethrower, Spray 8, Rate of Fire 1, AoE 0, obviously, POW 12, continues
to have 5.
Yep.
Yep.
I mean, just have a soul and boost it. He's got Assault, too.
I don't know if he can. Read Strength of Death again. Does it say melee?
Combat action. Just says combat action.
Okay.
It can spend it to boost it. So, yeah.
So you can boost the sprays?
Impacts up and kill it, and then he can start boosting the sprays.
Right, or he can just walk up and boost some sprays and then repo back or something, yeah, potentially. Yeah.
He has, continuous effect fire, damage type fire, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
He's got a range 2, power strike 14, continuous effect fire, magical weapon.
Cool.
The mount is a half inch pal 12. Yeah. So.
For 7 points, it doesn't sound too, like, it sounds pretty balanced, but it depends if he's free in the theme or not, right? If he's free, then you're kind of like, what the fuck? But.
Now, if you're taking other stuff for free and you can buy him, that gives you towards free points.
Yeah.
Right. So, and that's probably what it'll be. You get him as an exemplar and.
Yes, he definitely sounds like essential kit if you don't want your enemy getting souls, or if you don't want him stealing souls away from your caster or whatever, if you probably happen to be playing Testament or something.
Or he's off the side collecting somewhere else.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
All right, so going back to the top, because I'm not going to follow that.
Yeah, don't do that.
I can go here and you can find it faster there.
Sure.
I got pages and pages to go through.
Okay,
so Grand Exemplar Krios. This is Krios 2.
We
so
have bumped Grand Exemplar Krios up to Matt and Command for the start of this CID. We would like to hear feedback.
Matt 8, Command 10. Looks like those are the only changes that they've done.
Matt 8 makes a lot of sense, and Command 10 makes a lot of sense because it's Exemplars.
It gives him Tactician because he's got that, so that's why you want the bigger.
Yeah, so much Tactician these days, it seems.
Ooh, and then we got the Harbinger.
Oh my God. Command 12. Oh, shit. All the martyrdoms.
Have we seen that before? Anything over 10?
No, I don't believe so. I think that you could take I don't know if Corbeau has it still or something. Like one of them gave a plus to your command and you could get over 10 with that.
Oh yeah.
I think so. But anyways, 12 is, you know.
And they also changed her warjack points to 28 from.
I guess it does affect her feet too, because her feet is a command range.
Yeah. So now it's like having 6 focus, but she's 10. So now maybe people will be like, all right, this is actually better now.
Yep.
That actually does make sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I didn't think she was terrible now, but.
Did it say what her warjack points were?
I don't know. I'd have to look in the. No, I'll take a look in the war room.
No, I didn't know if it said something because it's now up to 28. That's all.
It's probably 27 is my guess, but let me just. I'll check it out while you go on.
All right. Then we're on to the Devout.
Yay. He needed a change.
So he got Spell Barrier.
Oh, shit. She was only 24 before.
Yeah, that's big.
That's big, yeah.
It's like 20-something percent. So he got Spell Barrier. While this model is in base-to-base with its battle group controller, cannot be targeted by enemy spells.
So it doesn't have to spend focus anymore to do it.
Right.
So that's pretty good.
Base-to-base.
Yep. This is the change from the Journeyman CID. Cool. Cool beans.
And then we got the Fire of Salvation. He is now Matt 8.
Yeah, kind of makes sense.
And he's got a Krios bomb, but that's all the same. No, that's all the same.
Yep.
Knight's Exemplar. They're just here. It doesn't look like they made any changes yet.
They're just there to talk about it.
They're there because it's the Exemplar theme. So they just put it in here and when they're ready to, they might adjust something.
Right.
Exemplar Errant's got Pathfinder.
Oh, fuck. There's a lot of complaints about that, about them being AD and not having Pathfinder. It's supposed to be like a.
Hey, Trenchers have AD and don't have Pathfinder.
Yeah, well, fuck those guys. Well, there was a lot of complaints about them supposing to be the role in the army, and why don't they have Pathfinder? Yeah. They're supposed to be like ranging out ahead of everybody and whatnot. Okay. Anyways.
Exemplar Errant Officer and Standard, they got Pathfinder, they got Purity. This model can Purity once per game at any time during its unit's activation. Enemy upkeep spells and animi on this unit immediately expire. Models in this unit cannot be targeted by enemy spells. Purity lasts for 1 round.
Yep.
And they got Tactics Quick Work.
Cool.
Models in this unit get quick
work. I'm pretty sure they had quick work in Mark II, but
maybe I don't know. It's green on here, but it's tactics quick work. Maybe it's changed somehow.
Right. Maybe it was granted before or something. I don't know.
I don't know.
I have to. I'll take a look at that, I guess, just to make sure. But there, change there, right?
Change something. It's green.
And that was on the attachment.
On the officer.
Right. Gotcha. Carry on.
So maybe it was while he was in play, they got it, and now they have it once you buy him, once you put him on the unit, now they get it forever.
I'm just going to see, because none of this has changed yet. So he had tactics assault. So they changed it to quick work. Yeah, which is better.
Yeah.
In some ways. It's kind of cute to have them like trying to just charge from miles away.
You. Exemplar bastions have changed. Point costs. Looks like they've probably gone down. So 3 guys is 8 points and 4 or 5 guys are 13 points. They were probably...
That's a 2-3 drop.
Yeah. I was going to say they were probably, what, 10,
16? 10, 16, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Any other changes or just a points drop?
Just a points drop.
Did they change Sanguine Bond on them just like the champions?
Yeah, right? Because it's still Sanguine Bond, so it's the same thing. Yeah.
Yep. So that might be better.
Because now it's farther, right?
You can still do it. The big question was like, was it worth it for an armor 16 unit with guys that only have 5 boxes?
Yeah. Yeah, but you have spells that put them up, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So once you do that and you've got like iron.
I think it has to be something that's built into your tech to kind of make them a little more durable than they are.
The Exemplar Incinerators, they probably got similar treatment. Leader 3 guys is 9 points and 5 guys is 15 points.
Well, it's a drop of 1 point.
Yeah, so similar treatment.
Yep.
Exemplar Avengers, they're just in here.
Right.
They're so amazing. They're like, we're not going to change them.
They are pretty good.
Exemplar Errant Seneschal, they got Pathfinder and Quick Work.
Yep. Just a match with
the Knights Exemplar Seneschal, what did I say before?
Errant.
Sorry, the first one was Knights Exemplar Errant Seneschal, and then it's Knights Exemplar Seneschal. No changes. They just like it. Judicator.
Yes.
Let's see. Point cost 35. I'm not sure what it was
before. Going to say 36, but let's see.
Probably 38.
Judicator is 36 currently.
So 1 point down.
Yep. Nipples got farther, didn't it?
It's got Reliquary.
Yep.
This model gains an additional die on attack damage rolls. Discard the lowest die for each roll.
Oh, fuck,
while its S system is disabled. This model loses a beneficiary of Reliquary.
So he's got signs of importance.
That's
pretty balls.
On attack and damage rolls.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that all of a sudden means you're going to see this guy because...
Well, it makes him a little more interesting.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. It used to be like, what? Oh, it gave him a future sight. Reliquary. That's how much I've seen him in Mark III. Like, Reliquary used to give 1 free focus. And now, currently, it's boost attack or damage rolls after rolling. And now it's signs of importance, which is strictly better.
In his spray went to spray 10.
Yeah.
It was probably
up from 8, yeah.
Yeah. So it sounds pretty good. I think you might actually see some Judicators on the table.
Possibly, yeah, with the right build.
Exemplar Bastion Seneschal, it gained a drive, Rhythm of Steel. Mm-hmm. While in this model's command range, a warjack under its control gains Flank Bastion. When a model with Flank Bastion makes a melee attack against an enemy model in the melee range of a friendly Bastion model, the model with Flank gains +2 to attack rolls and gains an additional damage die.
That's good.
Ouch.
That's probably right now it's Blessing of Iron, which can't be targeted by spells and doesn't suffer the effects of crippled systems. So just flank sounds a lot better.
But that not suffering crippled systems sounds pretty good too.
It does, but just for like damage output and stuff. And that's the problem with a lot of the Jack Marshalls is like Jack Marshall Jacks anyways. You're just like, well, I could give it more focus and whatnot, but now it's like, I don't have to give it focus and it can do some serious work,
mm-hmm.
especially if it's got multiple attacks.
Then we're on to the Purifier. It's got Ashen Veil.
The Purifier, is that a warjack?
It is a warjack. It's a light warjack, speed 5.
God damn it. Is this the one that sets people on fire?
8 point. It has immunity fire, Ashen Veil, Flame Trail.
Yeah, that's the one that sets it on fire.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, what points?
It's 8 points.
Okay, 7 points.
Yeah. But it's gained Ashen Veil. That's the only difference.
Right.
Which effectively makes it Def 15.
Cool. Against living models, anyways.
Yeah. But also gives a concealment, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So Def 15 to most people.
If people care. Yes.
Knights Exemplar Officer. Nope, no changes.
So many Knights Exemplar Pooper Poopers.
We talked about the Hand of Silence already.
Yes, we did.
Exemplar Incinerator Officer.
Exemplar Incinerator Officer, okay.
No changes.
Okay, he's just in there to bring up in case people want to talk about him.
We talked about the Warder Solo. We talked about High Exemplar Serena, whatever her name is. So we have Exemplar Warder Elias Grade.
Gade.
Gade.
He's already out, by the way.
He's a company of Iron Model.
Yep.
I guess, do they have a Minoth company of Iron Box or something?
I don't know, but he is in War Room, so he's available to use currently.
If you have him, I guess, so that's good.
Yep.
And so that means he's probably, I won't go over everything. If he's available already, people probably know about him.
Yep.
He has a Desperate Pace now.
Oh,
small and medium based models. It's an action. They gain +2 movement during their normal movement this turn.
Yep.
And he has Quick Work. So they added those two things to him.
Cool. They probably got rid of Leadership Exemplar Errant, gives Errant Pathfinder in his command because they all have it now.
Exemplar Errant, they must have, yeah.
Yep.
Give him Desperate Pace instead.
Cool.
I don't see what they took away. I only see what they added.
Right.
Shrine of Lawgiver.
This is the structure?
Must be.
Cool.
5, 10, 15, 20, 20, and it looks, 8 boxes.
It looks like a giant church. Like
it is.
It must be like 8 inches tall probably or something like that.
It's probably 3 blockhouses tall.
Stacked on top of each other. Yeah. Jesus. How much was a blockhouse in terms of money?
I can't remember. Like $70 maybe?
And that was at a store, right?
Yeah. Like full price.
This will be through Canadian. Baha'i. Or whatever, right?
Probably.
Because it's huge base.
Yeah, but sometimes they don't do every huge base, they said, that some of them would go to the stores.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Yeah,
so this maybe one goes to the stores. I don't know.
All right, tell me about it. I'm excited.
Okay, so FA2, so Mat 0, Rat 6, Def 5, Armor 20, Command 10, FA2, point cost 14, huge base, 28 boxes. It's a construct. Forward deployment. This model can deploy up to 8 inches beyond your deployment zone. It has Soul Taker Gatekeeper. This model can gain soul tokens. Blah, blah, blah. I can have up to 3. This model can spend the soul tokens for the following. Path of Urkane. Is it Urkane?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. Range command. Choose a friendly faction model. If the model's within range, it gains Ghostly for one turn. A model with Ghostly can advance through terrain obstacles without penalty and can advance through obstacles if it has enough movement to completely pass them. Cannot be targeted by free strikes. It's got Strength of Death. During its combat action, this model can spend soul tokens to boost one attacker damage roll for each token spent. And it has Vault of the Faithful. During your maintenance phase, you can remove up to 3 soul tokens from this model to return 1 destroyed small or medium based friendly faction grunt to play for each token removed. Medium base for 1?
No, it'd say 1 or 3. Up to 3.
Yeah, it says so. You can remove up to 3 soul tokens from this model to return 1 destroyed, small, or medium-based friendly faction grunt to play for each token removed.
Oh, damn.
So by that
wording, how many boxes does it return with?
Models return with 1 unmarked damage box.
Okay, all right.
Well, place the return grunts completely within this model's command range, information, and completely within 3 inches of another model in their unit. Return grunts must forfeit their combat action the turn they are returned to play. That's still pretty cool.
Does it have attacks?
Yes, I'm not there yet.
Okay.
It has True Sight.
All right.
It ignores clouds and when determining line of sight.
Yep.
And it ignores stealth. So obviously it's going to have a gun.
It's got a holy laser beam.
It's got a 14-inch gun, rate of fire 1, POW 14. It's magical.
Yep.
Jaws of Urkane. If this attack boxes its original target, you can make a spray 6 attack using the box model as the attack's point of origin.
Huh.
The spray 6 attack can target models in the boxed models back arc. Models hit suffer a POW 14 magical damage roll.
Pooh.
Models boxed as a result of an attack with this weapon are removed from play.
Cool.
Rear attack. When declaring attacks with this weapon, this model can target models in its back arc.
Right. Can zap anybody.
And it's got reload 1. It can spend 1 soul token to make 1 additional ranged attack with this weapon during its combat action.
Interesting. Is it enough? And you said it deploys 8 inches up from your deployment line.
Yeah.
So I'm a little concerned that if you're going first, you're not going to be able to get it into scenario
where you want it to be. Do they have the 9-inch deployments? Do they have anything that's 9 inches? Because if it does, then it's going to be towing zones, right?
Nine inches?
2 inches a bonus for themes, right?
Oh, well, if there's a 2-inch bonus for a theme, then possibly you can get it in. It's most of the time you want to be above the 15-inch line. Because that's where a lot of scenarios are.
Yeah,
are put
that's
in.
What I mean. Because it'd be.
I mean, it'd be great if it's like
8, 17.
If it's on the +18 side, because then you can get into circle zones and stuff like that.
But that might be too strong.
Really? I don't know.
But you'd actually see just
maybe. you want to pay 14 points for a model that's irrelevant to scenario.
Well, I own a blockhouse that has never seen the table.
Well, exactly. So I don't. It's early on in CID and stuff like that. But that's my main complaint about the blockhouse, regardless of its damage potential. It's a stationary model that can have no relevance to scenario in a lot of situations, and that's garbage.
I guess if you go second. It'll be at the
18th. Yeah, but do you want to have to choose second just so you can put your fucking church in the zone?
It's going to keep you in scenario, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. It's just an additional model that's in the scenario, and it's also, I don't know. I don't know if it's too much to give it like the Hellmouth deployment, which is like way up the table. Oh, yeah. I think it's like 12 inches or something. I don't know.
I hate Hellmouth.
Anyways, so sounds interesting. Bring back dudes is okay. It's got a decent gun, which is okay. It does require input in terms of getting boosts and reloads and stuff like that. You have to get souls, which means dudes have to die, right? So questionable as to whether or not. I mean, I want to see structures be successful in terms of like.
It's
they're
cool.
They're useful in certain lists, but for me, the main stumbling point is it has to be relevant to scenario from the get-go, right?
For a competitive side, maybe this is entirely fluff side. The people just
maybe,
you know, I mean, they got to look at it that way too. Like, not the problem with War Machine, but most of the War Machine players we know are super competitive.
Super competitive.
Playing for tournaments and stuff like that, right? Yeah, so, sure. Like something like this doesn't really, you know.
Well, like I said, I would like it to be. An enticing option, not for every list, but just for like, you know, maybe I could think about making a list for, not that I play Minoth, but making a list with a structure. But like I said, it has to be relevant to scenario. I'm not spending 14 points on something that my opponent doesn't have to destroy.
So next we have High Exemplar Gravis. He's a Protectorate Avenger Dragoon solo. He got Command 10. His point cost is now 8.
I believe he's 8 before, isn't he?
Nope.
No, he's 9.
Because he's green, I know it changed.
He's 9, and it seems like they've just gone like Command 10 across the board for Exemplar models.
And it's all the same. Everything else is the same on him.
Yep.
And then we have, there's a second. No, that's it. Everything's the same for him. And that's everything.
Did you talk about the Indictor?
The what?
I thought the Indictor went down a point as well from 15 to 14. Maybe you missed it or whatever, but it was just a point reduction.
No, I just end Fire Salvation, High Exemplar.
Since it's listed in this, it says, we feel the Indictor is close to where it needs to be. A slight point drop and a large area of effect should help this model fulfill its intended role. So drop it to 14 points, and Consecration is while within 8 inches of this model, enemy models cannot cast, channel, or upkeep spells. So that's up from 5 inches, I believe.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I do not see that on here at all. Maybe it didn't make the rules.
It could just be an omission. It was 5 inches as well, so it's up to 8. So that sounds decent, you know, for... A 14-point model anyways. Speed 4, 14.
Eight inches.
It's getting better, though. Like, when you look at this and you're like, oh, this is 14 points. And then you're like, oh, Juggernaut's 13 points. And you're kind of like, yeah, I can see it. This has got a little more utility and stuff. It's got a shield, so it's plus one armor in most situations. It's got the same number of boxes, same speed. So I like where it's going in terms of the balance, in terms of jack prices and stuff like that. So
they're getting there.
We're getting there. So a lot of interesting stuff there. Nothing that screams overtly broken to me.
We should have had Josh on. Maybe he'd be like, oh my God, that's so broken.
Oh yeah. I think he's going to be looking for stuff to be excited about for sure. I can't really think of all the possible interactions to like think, oh, that's pretty crazy, but it sounds pretty balanced. And I guess there was we'll get to that in a minute, but there was a thing on the, Scott put a post about, hey, what do you want us to talk about? And somebody was like, well, the Man of War CID felt different, right? And I think what feels different is what kind of feels different about this as well, is that it's like a slight rebalancing. It's not like a Crix CID or something like that, or like something big that happens, right? And there's nothing about it that feels particularly broken.
Right.
Like Sorsha 3, she's kind of interesting, but you're not like, oh my God, this is like Haley brokenness.
I'll buy her, but I'm not. Yeah. Like...
I think, you know, I was talking to some people afterwards, and I think you want to leverage her flank ability, flank Man of War ability a little more, and have like a more balanced list that focuses on delivering, cheap warjacks with flank to shit that, you know, ups their damage potential considerably, so that you're trading up. In a manner of speaking, right? As opposed to focusing on, I want to get full free points and spend 60 of my points on Man of Wars or something like that. Maybe you only want to have one shield wall unit and then all the fixings on that to make that a difficult model unit to remove, I guess.
Yeah.
And then you definitely want two of the Drakens just for fast flank stuff.
I only have one.
Well, whatever. All of that, you talk about all that, and you're like, yeah, that's kind of interesting, but it's not like, oh my God, fucking Haley 3 levels of brokenness or whatever. But I don't know if we're going to get that type of stuff. Scar 3, is she crazy? Denny 2, she fucking crazy. Maybe a little OP by a little bit, but I guess that could be, like, what was the last Crick CID? It was Denny 2 and what? Was it Slaughterfleet?
Yeah, I think so.
The Slaughterfleet. So there's lots of stuff about Slaughterfleet, and it's interesting as well, but the most exciting thing about that CID, I think, was Denny 2. Because she was super garbage before, and now she's like fucking super hot. Now she's
good.
Yeah, all the infantry, all the shit they did with Slaughterfeet is great. You know, makes all their infantry great. But it's not like here's the next broken thing sort of thing. Doesn't feel like that at all, right?
Mm.
So I don't know if it's that, because I'm reading through this and nothing of this stuff. I'm like, oh my fucking God, right? That's crazy.
Nothing jumps out at me that way either.
Yeah. I mean, even Scar 3 was like more of like, oh my fucking God, just from the sheer number of initials.
And then actually like, oh man.
Yeah. And the shit that she can do, it sounds pretty cool, but I don't know how easy it is to leverage on the tabletop. So that could be why. It's just a little more of a tweaking and rebalancing and stuff like that.
That's kind of addressed Justin's question, which to add to Tim's stuff. So Tim Simpson asked us, related to last week's Kador focused episode, do you think the Manowar chariots are going to see play? They seem solid and provide an interesting fast element to that theme.
I don't even know what they do. They're not even in here yet? Okay, well, that's why.
So I can answer my side of that, Tim, is a little different. So not that I'm not against the whole... What is it? Whatever that is, the black industry stuff. I'm not against them doing that. My issue with it is it's a $85 model.
Oh, right.
Right. And again, whatever. This is first world gamer issues.
Yeah.
And I'm Canadian, so I have to tack on 30% on top of that.
Oh, yeah.
So now we're looking at roughly $120-ish.
Sure.
And it ships for free, which is fantastic, but their shipping method is I get dinged at the border for another $30.
Yeah.
So
fuck my life.
I would be paying $150 per.
Yeah.
So I can tell you from my side, Tim, it's not going to see any table time.
Unless
I'm at a con that they're at with them and I can just buy it directly off them, fine.
Right.
My other option is I ship it to a buddy in the States, like a Rich from Beer Machine or something like that, and then I wait till I see him.
Right.
And then I can get it off him, I can save myself $30.
The duty thing is bullshit.
It is bullshit. So, like, I have one friend that bought that first one they did, the Hoot Trawler, the second one. He paid $250
Jesus Christ. For
it. By the time it shipped, paid the duty, everything.
For that kind of price,
exchange rate.
It better just like win games when you put it on the table.
And I was never excited to even build a list with it. So no. I was like, I didn't buy it. So then I had another friend buy Scar 3, delivered to his door after taxes, exchange, everything, $190.
Mm, it's a nice model.
It's first world gamer problems. I understand. It's not supposed to be free. It's not supposed to be, and it's a company making money. I totally get all that. I'm not knocking it in any way. But just as a guy married with a wife and a mortgage and a kid and all those other things that you got to pay.
You got to think of like old witch. How much was she? Like 160?
100 maybe? 25, 130-ish, I think. Maybe $140. $140
Canadian, probably at Lionel's, yeah.
And then you get a discount as soon as you buy it. You get a couple bucks off. So I don't know.
So
that's just my take on that.
Yes. It's slightly more expensive, but you do get like a beer cozy or something with it.
I think there's a hat this time.
There's a hat with Scar or whatever?
No,
or
Scar was something else.
Oh, right.
It's like a bandana maybe.
All I can say is what interests me rule wise with the battle engines is the advance move with them, because they are Man of War models and sounds pretty fucking crazy.
You can get them up in the grill.
Yeah. Just does it thread enough, or does it just get itself into trouble?
Well, it's going to be way up. I mean, if you go first and you advance move them,
yes,
and then run them, you're way up the board.
Yes,
because you're going to be like advance move 7 and then run 14, so you're 21 inches plus you're 28 inches up the board.
Yeah, Are you just getting charged by shit?
Maybe. So obviously you're going to position yourself better.
All them man-o-war dudes all the way back there.
They're going to take three turns to get where that guy is.
Quite possibly.
So hopefully he's like shooting and repositioning back or something. Like, you know, like start pulling back. And
yes.
I don't know.
And I'm not sure about the man-o-war theme, but does it count the battle engines as free model stuff? I can't remember.
I think it's man-o-war, so I think it does.
I'll try it, but move
you
on.
You can't add it because it's not there.
Well, the theme would say it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, true. But you understand you couldn't actually do it.
No. Why are they not in here now?
Because they're not
haven't been released yet. That has to wait for the model, right? I guess so. Anyways, carry on. I'll take a look at that.
Okay, so the next one we have is John Murray's saying, is there a value in dark horsing?
Of course.
Yes. Yes, there is. But it does take a lot of work.
It does.
You can't just take a crappy caster and expect to do well with it. But you kind of look at, so like right now, in your meta, if you have a bunch of Signar players,
yeah,
you can probably expect to see, because I don't think the Nemo 3 has been nerfed yet.
No.
So he's not nerfed yet. So you can expect to see, say, Haley 3 and Nemo 3.
Sure, that sounds fairly standard. Yeah.
Yeah. So like that's what you're going to expect to see.
Yeah.
So as a Signar player, you could dark horse it by taking something totally different because you know people are going to be meta-ing against that.
Right.
I think Haley 3 is probably still solid. Oh, you keep her as your main drop.
And there's not a ton of stuff that she's like, I can't play into this.
Yeah. But then you could do something totally crazy by dark horsing, like, say, Striker 1.
Right.
Right? Because like, most people aren't thinking about Striker 1 right now. He's not on the thing. But, you know, you take a Colossal or two and two battle engines with him or something.
Yep.
And a Junior. And you're just like, armor for days.
Yes.
And now you have a hard question that people have got to try to figure out. And, you know, sometimes they ain't going to figure that out.
Yeah.
I've done that list. It's a ton of fun, but, you know, it's something you got to be careful what you drop it into. So,
yeah, I think when you're dark horsing, it's not just a matter of like, oh, I'm going to use this caster that nobody knows what the fuck they do.
You got to meta the meta.
You got to meta the meta. Yeah. It's like a lot of people running cloud shit. So I'm going to drop Kruger 1 or Grail or something like that. Or Vlad 2. A lot of people don't know he's got Wind Blast as well. So, you know.
There's and then that kind can of solve some of the problems.
And he's pretty freaking solid caster anyways. So
because that's the thing. With like a Vlad 2, with like a Victor, you drop your cloud wall, get your anti-cloud wall, get rid of it.
Yep.
And then the Victor can now launch some 4-inch pie plates of fire.
Yes.
Which, you know, trenchers don't want to be on fire.
No, they
and
don't.
You're going to tag a lot of them because of the way they group up. So I mean, like, yes. It's a good way to get some stuff done. So that's definitely a way to do that.
Yep. I wasn't thinking about specifically Haley 3, but...
No, but Haley just, 3 is, just because I talked about it earlier.
Yeah. Haley 3 is an interesting monster.
Yes, she is.
The shooting is incredibly accurate and powerful. It's a gun line that can't be jammed. It also melees decently, you know, so...
Jake Van Meter is very good at doing the dark horse.
Yes.
And
well, he's got
winning.
He's got this practice of where he makes like, sort of like...
One less public,
and then he's practicing something in secret to...
To surprise everybody, yeah. Because like, oh, I know what he's playing, but I don't know what his off list is. And then it's like he busts out Ryus, and you're like, oh my, I've never seen Ryus on the table. And Ryus kills everything. You're like, oh, what just happened?
Yes.
So yeah, he's probably the better one to ask about that.
Well, there's obviously the value in dark horsing, but you have to meta the meta, and you have to know that caster very well without letting the cat out of the bag. Right? Let everybody know that you're playing it, and let them figure it out. So, so it's, in some senses, it's better. Like dark horsing for a local tournament is hard because how are you going to practice your dark horse caster?
Because you're practicing against the people you're probably going to see at the tournament.
If it's a convention or something and you're traveling, then it's a lot better in that regard.
Yeah, that's good. We have Franz Alexander.
Oh, I did the Man of War chariots do count towards 3 points too.
Very good. Franz Alexander says, how do you know if it's a good matchup for new players or players with little experience? So that's something that little experience is going to have a hard time for. You're going to need the experience to really understand that.
It is. You can kind of break it down simply and just be like, you can start with like, what type of army does my opponent have? Is it a shooty army? Is it a melee army? Those are kind of the archetypes. And then you can also go dude spam or armor, tank up, whatever, warjack spam, mm-hmm. that type of thing. And then you can just go for like, what are the counters to that? So if my opponent's running a gun line, do I have anti-shooting tech? Yeah. Do I have stealth and blast immunity and shield guards? And do I have fast units that can jam? if that's relevant, if they're not playing Haley 3. And if they're playing armor, do I have stuff that can crack armor? If they're running dude spam, do I have enough volume of attacks to take on the dude spam guys? Those are the main things that you should concern yourself when you're a new player. The deeper stuff in terms of like actual tech, like this model has this or whatever, or this model is going to be spamming spells. Do I have enough anti-magic defenses and that type of thing? Do I have Auron to remove this particular spell or whatever? Not Auron, Illish. So that stuff can come later, but initially you just have to look at your opponent's list and ask yourself, what kind of archetypes does it meet? Like, archetypal types, is it? And then do I have the tools to deal with that? Mm-hmm. If it's like 8 Kador Jacks, do I have enough decent attacks to take down War Jacks?
If you have a bunch of Weapon Masters, you're probably okay. But by a bunch, I mean like more than you would normally see.
Yes. And if all those Kador War Jacks are Kodiaks, then maybe your Weapon Masters aren't the best option.
They'll still get there.
Oh, probably. Right? Yes. And beyond that, you should also recognize that bad matchups are playable for the most part. There's probably a number of matches that are unplayable, but for the most part, even if it's a bad matchup, it is playable, and you have to sort of identify, what is my opponent attempting to do? Where is he attempting to score on the table? And then you have to ask yourself, what can I counter that with? Can I lock him out of scenario in another part and try to get up on CPs? Is he overly confident and going to expose his caster to a potential assassination? Do I have to plan for that type of thing, right? Can I isolate a portion of his strength and destroy it while I'm keeping him busy with a small portion of my list? You know, do I have those type of tools? You know, if you're playing into Karchev, do I have control? Do I have stuff that's going to give him Pathfinder issues if he doesn't have Kodiaks and that type of thing? Mm-hmm. So all that type of thing. So first off, identify the archetypes. If it's a bad matchup, try to counter his play with your play, right? Dig deep into your tool bed.
There you go, Franz. He's also asking about general tips and tricks that you can do to save time on the clock, or when can you push the clock on the other player and it's still your turn? So a lot of those situations are like tough rolls. Some guys take a long time for a tough roll.
Are you asking ways to like run the clock on your opponent?
If they sit there and they're rolling in their hand for the tough and just like, you're looking at them like, are you going to drop that dice? I will hit the clock over and look at him. I'm like, go ahead. And as soon as he drops it, I will then switch it back to me.
Right.
Sometimes I'll switch the clock over for marking damage. Yeah. If I find myself waiting more than I should be, which you have to judge that yourself, I'll pass the clock and again, wait for him. Yes. And once I see he's done doing his damage, I'll pass it back to me. So I'm not waiting for him to hit it back. So there's no errors.
Yeah.
If I'm going to hold him hold him responsible for 5 seconds, 10 seconds, because the clock's getting low, then I'll make sure that I pass it back and there's no clock issues that way.
Right. I agree with that sort of method. I rarely get into that type of nonsense, but in terms of your own personal clock management, know what your opponent stuff does, know what your stuff does, know what your opponent wants to do, and know what you want to do, and then you won't have problems with clock.
True.
Well, that's true. A lot of stuff to know, but like I said, if you can look across the table and be like, well, this is what he's going to try to do, this is what I'm going to do to counter, and then you just kind of like roll from there, and you're not... Most of the time when I see people that have clock issues, it's because they're indecisive, mm-hmm. and they're vacillating on decisions and that type of thing.
Or they're playing Haley 3.
Or they're playing Haley 3. They're playing something very complicated with lots of moving parts. Another part of clock management is understanding what matters and what doesn't matter. So when you get to a point where the removal of this model is incredibly important to the outcome of the game, take the time to do all your stacking or your positioning properly to remove that model. If you're going to charge a bunch of fucking POW 9 dudes into an armor 20 jack, you have to ask yourself, is this worth it mm-hmm. to spend 2 minutes of my clock resolving these attacks, or do I just run them in and jam?
And just jam, because that's what you're trying to do, is prevent them from getting somewhere.
Especially late game.
Late game is going to come up a lot, where you see people, they'll have, I've got 5 minutes left on my clock, and then they're still activating every model and doing all the attacks.
That's the point where you don't need all the runs.
Jam, pass clock, because this is like clock.
This is the scenario element that matters. I run this unit over here and contest with as many models as possible while keeping a few models safe for the following turn to contest, that type of thing. Yeah.
That's exactly it. Johan, he's asking, how heavy infantry is returning as a viable archetype, and what faction that runs it well?
Trolls.
Champions yeah. for days.
I still think there's very few heavy infantry that's self-sufficient. The cost mm-hmm. is too high. I mean, Bastions went down to, what the fuck did they go down? 13 points. It was pretty good for a 6-man heavy unit, mm-hmm. right? That may be getting to the point where you can think about using them in a self-sustaining 13 type of role.
For 6 or is it 13 five. For 5? Five. Five. I was going to say, because trolls are 15, I think, for 5.
Yeah. But another part of the flip side of that is most heavy infantry still require stuff to buff them to the point where they're a considerable problem for your opponent.
Mm-hmm. I guess. I mean, even champions, on their own, they're def 14.
Yes.
Base to base and melee, which is good. Def 12 to range. You can put the little, so now you need a solo.
Yes.
To give them concealment, which gives them, to most things, def 14 yes. to range, which is cool. Then you take your caster, which makes them, with all those same things, def 16 in melee and def 16 to ranged.
Yes.
You know, you start stacking stuff like that. And then their armor goes from 16 to 18 with the stone.
Yes.
You know, you're applying lots of stuff from your army and tools, but they become a very good yes. unit that's hard to
throw remove. In a spell and a feat, and they become a huge yeah. problem. And that I think the idea of running like an army that's like all heavy dudes, medium based dudes, a bit of a pipe dream. I don't think you can.
You don't have apply enough models and enough attacks.
It's better to have
on scenario.
Yeah, probably. And in my experience, they're still relatively easy to remove. Which I think what you're going to see more commonly is one unit of heavy infantry with all the buffs applied to make them a major problem mm-hmm. to remove.
The shock troopers with everything yes. were amazing.
They were very, like, very durable.
Like, you know, first turn they ran because nothing could touch yep. them. Second turn they advanced 6 inches, shield wall.
They're with tough.
Iron flesh, they were like 23, which is, you know,
it's durable.
That's an FU stat
with to 8 boxes.
And to most warrior models trying to get at them, they're not going to do anything. I mean, you're just going
to
jam up.
That's there. Ideally what you want from your heavy infantry is yeah. you want your opponent to have to commit heavies to deal with them, and then you counter with your heavies. Mm-hmm. And then you advance whatever remains of your heavy infantry unit, hopefully a considerable amount. But hopefully they're still so difficult to remove that heavy went in and killed one guy
yeah.
or something, right? That's ideally what you want. And you would think that Sorsha would do that very well, because they come in with their heavy, ba-ba-da-boom, they kill one or two man-of-wars, and then they're still engaged by a man-of-war. You send in your heavy with flank, it obliterates their heavy, and then you still have like whatever it is, 4 man-of-wars that advance and shield wall to protect mm-hmm. that heavy. So anyways,
it's good. I mean, it does the work.
Yeah. I just think like spamming them, it's not nearly as effective.
Well, I say I ran all of them last time as a fun game we were doing
just
to put them on the table. And right away I was like, I would drop the demo core.
Yeah. Unless you're building them into your list as like, Sorcerer is going to stationary something and they're going to blow the fuck out of it.
Yeah. I still thought the range guys had more options coming in.
Agreed.
And they were going to do more work coming in than they did. So,
but yeah,
that's just me.
I think the Man of Wars are something that they're very offensive. They're not about the defensive aspects of building that tech mm-hmm. in. What you want with them is you want maybe something that's going to up their range, their maybe threat Vlad range.
Too, right?
Possibly.
Gonna, yeah. He could fucking dial them up POW 19, sure.
yeah. POW 19 weapon masters if you can stationary something or whatever. That's pretty crunch. Pretty bonkers.
Dave Canty is saying, Is it my perception, or does the meta always almost revolve around Krix one, yes. and Signar?
Wasn't always that way. There was a point in early Mark III where Krix was non-existent.
Yes, well, obviously, we all know that. But then that's been fixed. All their themes are relatively good, and they always have a caster that can run something really well in those themes, which makes them back to being what they were. So you got to get a look at the game as a whole. Mark II, Krix dominated. You go to a tournament, you had a Krix drop.
Yes.
And an everything else drop. That's just basically the way you built your lists.
Part of that was because of how dynamically different Krix lists were from other people's.
Yeah. Right. But still, and they were one of the most popular factions.
Yes.
They won a lot of stuff, but they won a lot of stuff because a lot of more people played them.
Yeah. They're very popular now.
Yeah.
But I think
so those players are still out there and they have their stuff and now they're playing it again.
Yeah.
So
and I think aesthetically they're also appeal to players.
They look cool.
More prominently.
And Signar. Signar's always been there too.
Yeah.
Not as much as maybe we see it now, but now, I mean, Haley 2's kind of gone, but Haley 3's here.
Yes.
And she's really good. And I think, I mean, even if conservatively she's good into 80%, you can drop Haley 3 into 80%.
That's a very conservative estimate, yeah.
You know what I mean? But having a list like that,
yes.
really good. And yep. I still think she's one of the best casters in the game, But she's one of the most complicated casters in the game.
Yes.
And
prior to her, there was Haley too.
Yes.
And that's another reason why you saw so many Signar players.
Yeah. And I think that Haley 3, you can still beat them on clock and stuff until they mastered it.
Oh, yeah,
but,
yeah.
Like, you know, that's what you see. Like, Donnie, one of our buddies, is playing it, and he's really good with it. But sometimes you give him too many things to think about, and you can beat him on clock.
For sure. Like, the game we played, what was there, 2 Mondays ago or something like that, he was like, you could probably just beat me on clock. I'm like, I know that, but I actually want to see what is possible against this list, not just clocky because you took too long thinking. yeah, so I think aesthetics,
mm-hmm.
Power level, and the fact that some players, like there was like, we were at the Hobby Kingdom once, there's like a dude come in and he's like, I want something that I can play that I can kite people with. And that's like basically just like, I hurt them and they can't hurt me back sort of thing. And Signar has a little bit of that feel to it. I'm not saying that they can effectively do that all that well, but
right. They're
like, I can shoot you from far away and there's nothing you can do about it type of thing. And that appeals.
For a turn or two.
For a turn or two. But that appeals to a lot of people, right? Yeah. So I think,
Signar's also the good guy. Like a lot of people who get into the game, they start Signar. Yes. The blue's very attractive. They see it. They're like, oh, that's nice. And you know, and I mean, that's kind of what got me into it. So you wanted Kador and I took Signar.
I was wrong. I did not want Kador.
I wanted Kador. I mean, eventually got there years later.
Yeah.
Fab says, how much salt is too much salt?
There's never enough salt.
Dave level salt is too much salt.
It stings my eyes. I get salty too, but I do try to turn my salt
into something productive.
I mean, I'm a little salty about Haley 3, but I'm trying to turn that into
something productive. I just don't have an answer to it, but I'm used to that. There's always been, like, we've talked about it before. Like, Bradagus, I didn't have an answer for. You know what I mean? Like, it was one of those things where I was like, well, I just can't beat it, whatever. Una 2, didn't have an answer to it. It's like, meh, whatever, I'm just going to lose to that. Like, I understand it, I accept it, and move on. It's not a big deal. But, I try not to snap. But sometimes it's the little things like gremlin swarms.
Right.
They're so broken, and yet they're never going to get fixed. PP never going to see them as broken.
They're not broken.
They are.
Like, maybe it's because you play like Kador into them or something, but they're not that broken.
I've watched them like destroy my jugs. Like,
yes.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It's so good. But there's enough stuff that deals with Incorporeal and whatnot that they're not that
other factions
deal.
Have enough
other stuff factions. Yes.
I don't want to be hampered with 12 points in my list to deal with, you know, a free solo model. Yes. Like,
I mean, part of the issue is that Dark Menagerie, you're generally running so many beasts that you really want the Serenity as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've kind of got to the point where I'm like, I really don't want to take 4 Gremlin Swarms, because in those matchups where your opponent has the solutions, they're really dead weight.
Right.
And I'd rather have free Kravitz than free Gremlin Swarms. So I'm looking at my list and being like, well, what's the minimum number of Gremlin Swarms I can get away with just for needing Serenity and just to have that tool?
Not, don't take any.
No. You usually need like at least 2. As I say, the level is salt. There was a post on the Crix Facebook group about Gatsby 3 and about an upcoming unnecessary nerf to Slayers, right? Where there's talk about potentially going up to 11 points from 10. And there was, I don't know, last time I checked, there was over 300 comments. Oh, and it was all salty Crix players about, you know, how there hasn't been enough time for the meta adjust, and it's not like Gatsby's winning huge things, and blah, 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 and that has counters, blah, blah, blah. All I can say is, fuck off. It is too good, but...
Well, it's Karchev. It's now Crix has their Karchev. That's basically what it is.
And saying it has counters just because there's like 20% of the meta that can play into it effectively or something like that is not...
It means it's an 80% drop. It's a Haley 3. Yes. I mean, like...
Yeah, it feels like an 80% drop right now.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know... But the funny thing is, I think it's more the caster than the Slayers.
Personally, I do as well, but PP hasn't made any move in terms of their adjustment.
Yeah, because I'm going to say, it's both the Unyielding and the Carapace.
Yes.
I mean, the Carapace is the theme, but it's the Unyielding stacked on top of it, so...
Yes,
I mean,
it's the being effectively immune to free strikes and effectively immune to guns. Like, I mean, not all guns, but effectively immune to most guns. And the fact that they're a lot more durable in combat with mobility. So you basically have all of these buffs being put on a really cheap chassis that's making it worth way more points than it is.
So, and there's so many of them.
And this game is about force multiplication and stuff like that, and about taking a certain point of model and turning it into an increased value out of it. But comes a breaking point where you're like, I get this theme benefit free. I get this field marshal for free. I have to cast this spell, which I can sometimes cast for free. And then it force multiplies my entire army. So there's a certain point where force multiplication becomes too easy to apply and too difficult to overcome. And all them salty quick players have difficulty swallowing that pill. But it was delicious. I didn't post anything because it's not worth getting into that with them. But I did read a whole bunch of the responses and it was delicious. So delicious.
All right, the last one we'll look at is Daniel Connick. How much Circle sucks. That's all.
Fuck off, Daniel Connick. Circle doesn't suck. They have obviously some core issues right now. One of them is that their living war beasts are gratuitously overpriced, right?
But we've seen a lot of the drops coming, so we know.
Oh, yeah, I know it's coming. It's coming, and it's going to happen soon. But did they suck? Maybe. I don't know. They're definitely, like, right now it only seems like the Wolds are the playable option. But I don't know. I've been out of them for several months now, or maybe 4 months. So it's hard to comment. I know that he's not the only one that has that opinion. I've heard other people say that Circle's now the worst faction or something like that. And I can kind of see that in a way, but not for long. That's all I can say. They'll be coming back.
I did an update. There was one more question.
Oh, okay.
Jerome Klein, can your Cricks drop double as your Signar drop?
I don't have a Cricks drop. When I build pairings, I don't have a Cricks drop.
That's the thing.
I guess you probably should in a sense, because if you're playing like a normal faction or whatever, because Denny 2 is a thing, mm-hmm. and you have to be able to deal with that kind of volume of incorporeal models. And even just based, like, if they have two Wraith engines or something, like, can I deal with that, right? But I have a faction that has Wraithbane on a stick, so
you're just like, meh, whatever.
Most of the time, you're like, I can deal with that in some manner or form, right? If you're playing a regular army, can your Kricks matchup drop as something else?
As a Signar.
As playing Signar.
No, it says, can your Kricks drop be your double as your Signar drop? Can that list handle both?
That
depends, like, right now.
I don't necessarily think so, because you're building towards two different sort of archetypes.
Yeah, I was going to say, right now, my Kricks drop would be the 5 Doom Reavers.
Right.
All magical weapons, can handle slayers,
can't be targeted by spells.
Yeah, that's probably what I would do there. And then my Signar drop would probably be, what would I pair with that? I don't know.
Something resistant to guns.
Harkovich Triple Colossal.
Right now, Signar, in its all its forms, is Haley 3 Trenchers, right? Yeah. So if you're asking what can deal with Haley 3 Trenchers, and I think I was talking to Dave about this, and I was like, I don't know. I don't know if Kador has an answer to it. It might be Old Witch, because just being able to control the shooting a little bit helps a ton. Helps a lot. So, but I haven't seen any Kador players really playing a lot of Old Witch.
I haven't yet, no.
So, and I think she's versatile enough. I played
her once against Donnie, who did a Greg against me.
Oh, yes.
So he just totally gravediggered me, and then everything was dug in. I was trying to play with as many huge bases as I could. So I had her with, like, the two battle engines. So my AoEs of death were not doing anything.
And I was you were stupid.
I was having fun.
Yes.
Into a horrible matchup.
Yes.
That's how I knew it was a horrible matchup. I had guns and he had dig in.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. You know,
I mean, I think that's part of the problem with the Kador mentality, is a lot of people are like, well, you take Old Witch with rockets and shit. But if it's going to be your Haley 3 drop, you don't want all that shit, yeah. because it's going to be garbage into that matchup.
Rockets ain't
going to
do nothing.
Nope. You need stuff that can hit the high def, that can survive the shooting, and that's helped by Windstorm. And then it needs to be, I think the primary thing is it needs to be able to leverage enough quality attacks to be able to kill def 15 models effectively and bring magic attacks to deal with it. But
def 15 tough models, yeah.
I mean, Haley does really struggle into large volumes of high armor. Because, I mean, she can leverage some POW 15 shooting with the Kiss and the
POW 20,
the Grenadiers.
POW 22.
Well, the fucking, yeah, I'm whatever. Just saying, that's like two shots. So, I mean, essentially what you need is Old Witch in Jaws, I believe, with a good volume of armor 20 guys.
And I don't know if they have the attacks to do the damage, though.
Well, they are mat 7, which helps considerably.
Yeah, but it just the volume of attacks.
Like Kodiaks.
Yeah.
I've been finding, like, playing Grimkin, madcaps.
Hmm.
Anything that doesn't have to roll to hit, fucking gold. I killed Baby Haley with a madcap. Not a madcap, but like a Kaskim. Right? And Donnie was like, oh, I was really hoping that would take, like, a soak a really solid activation. I was like, no, this free model just fucking kills her.
That's what's good, I guess, about the Kodiak. Tramples up, lands somewhere, puffs its cloud of death, and
yeah,
most of those guys are going to have to tough because it's POW 12, they're armor 14, so
yeah,
you need threes to kill them.
I mean, it takes some thinking, right? And like I say, it doesn't take any thinking, but I mean, maybe even you want to consider taking Behemoth on a Fat Santa just to have a ranged magical element.
I did like that module.
I haven't tried to build the list, but like I said, to have the tools, you need to be able to shut down or control the shooting and have enough quality attacks to kill things. On top of that, you need some magic weapons to kill some aliens. So, and like I said, the Kador players aren't thinking that way. They're thinking, Old Witch, you bring rockets and you just outshoot them. But you're not going to do that with the alien.
Yeah.
At all.
No, because you're not, the clouds are going to be an issue.
And the high defense.
Yeah. And the high defense. And dug in. Blast.
And, gross. So I know how badly Winter
dug Guard in. They're obliterated by that. And with the other spell, the stack. So they'd be like def 18.
No, dug in, they're 19.
Is it 19?
13, 17, 19.
I think they're 12.
No, they're 13.
Oh my God.
The whole list is 13. Even the troll guys and the ogre guys or whatever, they're all
so broken.
I know.
So good.
That's part of the problem.
Got long gunners on order. I was going to say.
And it's all tough as well. So if you have, I don't think I can think of anything in Kador besides like eliminators and shit like that.
Snipers.
Snipers, but the snipers aren't going to hit shit.
True. I mean, aiming rat 9.
Maybe. Yeah. So I'm already kind of building the counter list in my head. Mm. The question is, does it play into enough of the field? It's Old Witch.
How does Haley 3 play into Haley 3?
Boring.
Do you want to just like slit your wrist?
Or yeah, what? Probably.
Yeah. Well, I got to go first.
So you could take eliminators in the Jaws theme.
Yep, you can. Like only one unit though.
No, two. I think you can take two. I think you can take two. And that is some tough denial, and they also are very accurate. You have to kind of save them.
And they have stealth, so it's a little tougher for them to remove them.
A little bit. With Windstorm, it means that they're not going to just be able to drift AoEs all over the place and kill them or whatever. So whatever, so that's my thoughts
good. On that. Very good.
I don't know what that last question was now, but we kind of devolved into that. Oh, whether it could be your...
Double as your Signar drop. So overall, no.
So this is if you're playing...
If you're dropping, if you have a crit drop. Can it work as your Signar drop?
I think they're kind of different, two different archetypes.
Yeah,
because you're not really... They asked me two different questions.
Yeah, very good.
That's my thought anyways.
Excellent. And I guess we'll call that a cast.
Good job.
That's good.
We talked
thanks about for all the questions, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the Menoth and all the questions.
I'm excited to see what happens with the Menoth.
Yeah, obviously I want to see him on the table again. That's one of the feel like they're not around.
Science importance, Jude Cater. Sounds nerfy. Sounds pretty nerfy.
Find us on Facebook. You can do that. Everybody knows.
Maybe we'll see some Fiora 2 again.
Find us on Instagram. Find us on Twitter.
Yeah.
I post more on Instagram than I do Twitter. Twitter I still never figured out.
I never really got on Twitter.
Yeah, most of me. I just follow some suicide girls and see some boobies once in a while. It's all good.
Tattoos and boobies.
Thanks for listening.